My name is Wendy and I'm back with Books and Wine, the podcast. And on this episode, we meet a sommelier who works internationally and on the high seas. And we get to catch up on what that looks like on a day-to-day. And also, he shares some very interesting tips on how you can drink wine and enjoy it. Stay tuned for the science behind pairing your food with your wine so you'll never have to guess again. Welcome to Books and Wine, the podcast, Daniel Mwangi. Karibu sana.
Asante sana.
It was a pleasure to meet you by chance at the Wine Expo and were introduced by someone we mutually knew.
The OG,
Wine Zero. I know. I'm so glad I jumped on the opportunity to just speak with you, book a meeting with you and see, just have a chat. Because I'm always very much intrigued by wine. And most importantly, I always want to demystify it. And I'm sure out of this conversation, there will be something that somebody can pick up about wine and use it in their lives.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, karibu sana. You want to say hi sana to the people?
Hi, Books and Wine people. This is Daniel. Be nice to be here back home to meet good people who are doing great things and uniting people through wines. Because as we say in the wine industry, the wine unites people.
Yeah.
Even Jesus made some wine for a wedding. So we need to continue this legacy. You know,
I know. Beautiful wines, yeah? Yeah. It didn't make whiskey. It didn't make gin. It didn't make rum.
Why? It has to be wine. Not rum, not cognac, not nothing like that. It was just wine.
Makes wine very special and we're happy for that.
Yes.
So before we get into wine and everything, I know briefly that you're a sommelier.
Yes.
In layman's terms, what does a sommelier mean? What does a sommelier do?
Mm.
Yeah. Like, what does that look like for you in action?
So, sommelier, there are different type of sommeliers.
Mm-hmm.
There is a cigar sommelier, tea sommelier also. And I heard also in Saudi Arabia, there is some water sommelier.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they have different types of water that they taste because alcohol is not really much appreciated there. Yes, it's available, but it will not be like readily and openly sold like here in Kenya. So there are people who do also wine sommelier. There's different types of water, yeah?
Okay,
so
they
taste those kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Tea sommeliers also there is because these are guys who specialize in tea.
Yeah.
But sommelier is a general word, but mostly the commonly known sommelier is wine sommelier, but we don't necessarily say wine sommelier.
We just say sommelier.
Because already you can say sommelier in French, or just stick to what we know, we just say sommelier.
Yeah.
So that is just dealing with wine. Since you are specialized in wine,
mm-hmm.
you study wine, you drink wine, you taste wine, you analyze wines, and you talk about wine to people. That is basically what we do. You have to study more, understand it, because you need to explain something to someone that you already know.
Yeah. The person we're referring to when we say sommelier, typically is a wine sommelier.
Yes.
Who is
dealing with wines
and familiar with wines and works by advising customers mostly about what the wine they're drinking or what wine they should drink, correct?
Yes, that's basically what we do.
Okay, but how does somebody get started?
It's a long process. It's the same way like you doing books. You had to also read books to have that and that kind of push for you to understand books and that enthusiasm to understand books.
Yeah.
So basically you need to be
passionate.
Very interested and passionate about wines.
Yeah.
But where does this come from? So you cannot just wake up and just see wines. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a journey that you begin by understanding, wanting to understand wine.
Yeah.
So you start from there. There are courses that you do to understand the wine. Mostly the common one is called WSET, Wine and Spirits Education Trust.
Mm-hmm.
There is Court of Master Sommeliers. Depends. But what is available mostly here in Kenya will be the WSET. Court of Master Sommeliers. Yes, you can study online, but most exam you have to either do in Europe, China, those sites, Tokyo. or states. It depends where you're from. But in Africa, CMS, you have to go and do the exam there. But you can study online.
Yeah.
There's so many things you can study. Wine Scholar Guild is also available.
Okay.
IWS, so many. But the most basic and most interesting one, easy for a person who's beginning, is WSET.
Okay.
That's a states.
So basically, like any other profession, you have to go to school and get get taught in the craft, yeah?
Yes. Mm.
So it's interesting to hear you talk about, you know, the various options that are available even for people locally, you know, who want to follow this career path.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to know, like, how maybe your first interactions with wine, like, what were the moments that, you know, got you interested and got you on this journey?
Yeah.
If you can recount the highlights for us. Yeah. What was that like for Daniel?
So, as I said, you cannot just wake up and just say, oh, I want to study wine. You have to also, in a way, to interact with it. Yeah. Either by, first of all, drinking, maybe meeting a friend who understands wine, let you taste wine, and you're like, oh, okay, I want to learn this thing.
Yeah.
So for me, it came in Dubai when I was working there in a hotel.
Okay.
Because I moved from Kenya 2015.
Okay.
So by 2017, I got a chance to work in a hotel, because previously I was in a bakery.
Yeah.
Bakery, just baking breads and whatever, and sandwiches.
Yeah.
But then after some time, 2017, after 2 years in Dubai, I got a chance to work in a hotel. It's called Renaissance Hotel. It's part of Marriott Hotel.
Okay.
So there, it's fine dining restaurants. For sure, you are more exposed to wines.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a restaurant, you need to sell wines, pair food with wine for guests. It's a typical restaurant kind of environment. So for sure, you have to deal with wine. So from that, I have started to understand, because you need to understand what you're selling.
Yeah.
So by understanding what I'm selling, also you had to start reading about it.
Yes.
Because wine is not easy. You start from grapes, it goes to countries, goes to regions.
Yeah.
So from that, we started developing the urge to learn, so that I'll be able to explain to a guest wine. Because most of these guests, it's not that they don't know wines.
Yeah.
It's not like you're also talking to guests who don't know wine.
Yeah.
Sometimes if a guest orders a steak and tells you to recommend a wine, for sure, it's not their first time to drink wine. So you can never go wrong.
Mm.
So you just needed to understand the basics, like maybe red meat with red wine, white meat with white wine. But also, there is also rules to be broken. So by that, you need to research.
Yeah.
So from that, the management, of course, sees that you're doing good sales and you're trying to learn more, asking the head sommeliers. Because in most hotels and most fine dining restaurants, there's also different levels of sommeliers. There's a junior, there's a sommelier, there is a head, there's a wine director. So for sure, if they see that you're asking these questions, they start to put you in the program.
Interest.
Yeah, they put you in the program to learn. So they put me in the program to start level one, university, as I said.
Yeah.
Then after some time, I believe less than a year, I did again the level two, because when you pass level one, you're eligible to do level two. So by the company again put me to do level two.
Yeah.
But then after that, now level two is now you get more in depth in the understanding the wine. It's not just basic, because level one is basic. What is wine? What is grapes? What is what?
Yeah.
But when you go to level two, now you start to understand regions, food pairings, different countries, different regions of different countries that produce different wines.
Yes.
So now you start to understand very well. So that was my journey. I started to do those courses. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. As an aside, like before you started interacting with wine professionally, as a drinker, is it something that you had been keen on? Or if not, if you were keen on other drinks, have you fallen out of love with, I don't know, maybe whatever else that was your default?
Yes, I remember sometime I used also to, when I go to supermarket, I had not really gotten into to know wine in best way possible.
Yeah.
Before I even went to Dubai, I remember one day going to Carnival, and I went to, I can't remember, was Tusky's or what in town, and just go to the wine department, the liquor store inside the supermarket, and I like just to take the wines.
Yeah.
Eight, I did not know anything about, but it messed me up that day, I remember. Because I took a very full body wine that I had no idea about, and we were drinking like it's a shot, you know?
Yeah.
Very fast. So, because also in, when it comes to this, through now my experience, through this way that you can understand mm-hmm. on alcohol levels,
yeah.
so you don't get messed up very fast.
Yeah.
This is called ABV, alcohol by volume. That's always written in bottles. Yeah.
Which is like the percentage.
Percentage. Yeah. So that time I had not checked. I don't know. We just take it. It's 15 years is low, but also
mm-hmm.
how you drink, how
the
fast you drink,
of it,
but also how fast mm-hmm. you drink.
Yeah.
Also messes you up fast.
Mm.
Because wine, let's say right now we have a glass of wine, and you drink it within maybe half an hour or something. That process, the slower you drink, the
yeah.
more intoxicated, the less intoxicated you'll be.
Yes. I mean, that's a very good illustration of a lot of people's interactions with wine.
Yeah.
And a lot, most people, like, for instance, just like any other alcoholic drink,
mm-hmm.
when you engage with it and you're not fully aware of
yeah.
what you're doing,
yeah.
It can be end up being a bad experience.
Yeah, it can
and
be.
And then you...
Because you know, you need to take baby steps.
You know, like, wine is... I don't agree with wine.
Yeah.
You know, is there something like that, by the way? Because there are some people who swear, like, me, my body doesn't agree with wine.
No, because this can only be... that's the time you do your nice research.
Mm-hmm.
Like to understand or ask somebody who knows. So if it's your first time in wine,
mm-hmm.
if it's your first time drinking wine, you need to start from the basics: light body, less alcohol level.
Yeah.
This is what the ABV I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But also, and also the speed you drink it. You cannot drink wine like you're drinking a Coke
tequila.
Or tequila. Tequila, yes,
okay,
it's shots. Yeah.
Okay, yes.
It's meant to be shots. But wine you don't do, because you can have a very bad experience if you drink the wrong wine
mm-hmm.
for the wrong purpose.
Or even on an empty stomach.
On an empty stomach, especially
mm-hmm.
that. And wine really, it has a very, very weird feeling if you it does not agree with you. That's
yes.
for sure. Because it's made different. It's a different kind of alcoholic beverage. It's not like other things that is just... Wine has a lot of flavors and characteristics as compared to, say, a vodka.
Mm-hmm.
When you taste a vodka, it's just vodka.
Yeah.
You're not really looking into tasting. I don't know... umamis, I don't know which flavors, red fruits, white fruits,
the minerality, of
minerality,
the soil.
Acidity. you're not looking to taste those in things like vodka, but in wine they have all those things.
Yeah.
That you need to pay attention to. That's the idea now of appreciating wine.
Mm.
But when you start to understand wine well, it becomes a very nice acquired taste
mm-hmm.
that you start to understand.
And to drink intentionally.
Intentionally, you know the right time to drink it, you know how to drink it. Sometimes also you understand how to serve it,
yes.
what type of glass we have to serve it in, how much
and
time
why.
You need to open this wine. It need to be treated well. It need to be treated with respect. So
when is a diva? Like,
it's a diva.
You must approach her with respect.
Need to be, it's a lady. Need to be taken care of
yeah.
in a nice way, you know?
For so, it to give you the best experience.
Yes, for that.
I'm glad you mentioned something about, like, say, part of your, some of your initial experiences.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a thing that I find, of course, mainstream when you... research on wine and
yeah.
you'll always come across pairing.
Yes.
But granted, there's times that you'll consume wine when you're eating.
Yes.
But mostly there's also times that people just want to have a good time.
Yes.
With alcohol involved.
Yeah.
Without necessarily having a meal attached to it.
Yes, yes.
Maybe it's a night out.
Yes.
Or maybe you're, you know, is wine something that you can have at the club?
Mm-hmm.
Or at a party just for the sake of, you know, enjoying a good time?
Yes.
And if so, what are some of the considerations that somebody can take into account? Like, are
yes.
there certain wines that go well with just easy drinking without having to think about food? Yeah.
Yes. So this is now where the age comes in
mm-hmm.
and the type of grape. Those two things, yeah?
Okay.
And region will come in later. But understanding first of all the type of grape
mm-hmm.
and the age of that wine. So good example. There are some grapes, let's say, this is also where you also need to understand what are these grape varieties you're talking about.
Okay.
So if you're not aware of what grape varieties are, then it would be kind of difficult also for you.
You get into trouble.
You be in trouble.
Yeah.
But then, that's why I say this is a... This is a drink where you need to kind of research, like to know it.
You can't wine, be blind.
You cannot just go blind. It's not like buy any type of vodka. I like to give that example because the most basic example, the best example to compare when it comes to not complex. Those complex ones.
Distilled.
Distilled, that's it. It's a taste, you mix it with something, drink it, forget. But when it comes to wine, you need to understand first of all grape varieties. They are, and that, now this is where the body comes in. Because let's say on a night out, on a club, or in your balcony somewhere, afternoon, Sunday afternoon, glass of wine, you're not even eating anything. So at that time, you might not really go with a very full body wine. Because let's say you had not even eaten lunch or you didn't have lunch. You go with a very full body wine, let's say with high acidity, with high tannins, it's very full body.
Yeah.
That one...
It's going to hit you hard.
It's going to hit you hard. Because also, and also the age, this is where age comes in.
So an older wine.
Older wine.
You want to reserve that for food. Is that true?
It would be nice for food, but also you can do an older wine, especially let's say you open it prior. Like you want, I'm hanging out in my balcony at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Maybe this wine, you open it at 1 o'clock. You leave it in a decanter or in, if you have a nice glassware, you leave it some time.
Yeah.
And you will not have the whole bottle possibly. If you are two people, you can sip slowly, nicely, it will open up.
Yeah.
You'll actually appreciate it more if it opens up. A younger wine, especially younger wines and full body grapes, like grape varieties like Cabernet Sauvignon, like Merlot, if you try those on an empty stomach and it's just very young, it's just opened it.
Yeah,
it will really
it's,
gonna
it's
hit you.
It's not gonna be the best drinking.
You might
experience.
Hate wine actually. You might really hate it. I hate the wine because it's high in acidity, high in tannins, high in alcohol level. Maybe it's 14.5, it's 15.
Yeah,
could be
straight up upset
straight
your
up,
stomach.
Yeah, straight up it will upset. But if you are on a nice sunny day and you take, let's say, a Pinot Noir, young Pinot Noir, very fresh, very fruity, very refreshing.
Or like a rosé.
Or a rosé. Yeah, you see, that is very easy. It's very nice to your stomach, even if you did not eat, it's very nice.
Yeah.
You can have a light. So this is where the body will come in and the age. Yeah, but mostly the grape variety comes in, then the age, because grape like Pinot Noir, whether it's older or young, it's still a light body.
Okay,
yeah?
Okay.
But when you go Cabernet
Sauvignon,
but
that's for the red. That's for the red.
Yeah, that's
for red. So for white, what are the, like some of the grapes that, you know, some varietals that are easy drinking?
Whites usually easy, to be honest. Depends, only a few grape varieties that you need to appreciate and you need to have time to understand them. On a nice hot day, you want a very chilled white wine. Basic thing is chilled. Then grapes like Sauvignon Blanc, grapes like Chardonnay, Riesling, if you like, you have a sweet tooth a little bit, Muscat, if you have, those are nice grapes. White wines is not really as complex.
It's not very as complex as the red wine.
As
the red wine is the one that puts people into problems.
But some, then also depends what you have bought and from which country. There's some whites that also you need to pair with something like food.
Okay.
Let's say a very important Chardonnay from France. Yeah.
Okay.
From a Chablis area or from, if you have some deep pockets to buy some Grand Cru's, you know.
Okay.
That's not a wine that you just open it just anyhow, only just start to sip. You need this wine in a special occasion. Some of them are expensive. It could be $1,000, could be, I don't know, $100, $200. That's very high.
The dollar is at 150 as
you speak. Yes, a nice Grand Cru, you will not get it at cheap price.
So I suppose that's not the wine that you you know, you just take for granted. It's definitely the way that you say for an occasion. Yes. And you just, you know, you even dress up.
Because, you dress up for it, you know, special someone, somewhere.
If you're going to open a $1,000 wine, surely. Yes.
With an important then, meal also.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. I think that's a good tip in terms of what wines to drink when you're not... when you're just having an easy time, when you're not trying to complicate your life, when it's just
some you simple grapes
and a nice afternoon,
some Pinot Grigios for the white, Sauvignon Blanc, Muscat, Frieslings, those are nice grapes. But white wines is not complicated. As, as long as you chill it, nice sunny day, it helps to help, because what you need in white wine is acidity. White wine does not have tannins.
Yes.
It has, it just has acidity, and most white wine will not be so high in ABV.
12.5,
13.5. If you find a 15 or 14.5, those are the important ones I'm saying.
Yeah.
Why do we use this word important?
Okay.
This important word is when you talk about wines that really... they are very important. Like I said, the Grand Cru,
expensive.
You know, those, I have a couple of bottles also at home. I don't open them for the last 2 years.
You
keep them, you save them for something special, a special day, or a day that I'll be having a very nice meal or very important guest. Those are the wines that you preserve. But some simple grapes, white wines, usually you enjoy them young. They are not really meant to age for long as compared to some important red wines.
Yeah.
Some white grapes, white wines, simple. Last year, 2 years ago, three years. If it goes over 15 years for a white wine, then you need to give it time and give it nice attention. Open it, put in a decanter, have a very nice heavy meal. I don't know, oysters.
Treat it
or
like
something.
A red.
Treat it very important, like so, special. Yeah.
You mentioned that something about like the age of the wine.
Yes.
And maybe for somebody who is wondering what that means, so most wines will have a denotation of the age, right?
Yes.
So that's what you refer to as vintage. And
yes.
So for instance, like a typical bottle will say Sauvignon Blanc 2019.
2019,
or 2022.
Yes.
So typically when you say a wine is young, what I'm say for a white, what are we talking about? Is it 2 years, 1 year, 5 years?
Yeah, so when it comes to age, something young is 2 years, 3 years. If it goes more than 5 years, there are different characteristics that you start to taste in that wine. But it's still also not that old.
Okay.
10, you can consider, okay, this is old wine. This is an old. 10, 8, 9. For sure, there are even wines that are 100 years old.
Yes, they are very old. I think I've only seen, not tasted, I've only seen like a 40-year-old wine.
Yes.
And it was even kept in a glass case.
Yes.
You know, because you don't want accidents around that thing.
Yeah, especially when it comes to normal red, normal dry wines. You can find older, but sweet wines, especially... things like port wines, you can find even 200 years old wines.
Wow. 1889.
They're still okay because it still is has high level of sugar, high level of alcohol. That preserves the wine more.
Okay.
Something like a port wine and it's 200 years old because it's very, very sweet.
Yeah.
And it's very high in alcohol in that category of wines. Because more than 15% is usually considered very high.
Yeah.
And you if you find more than 15%, most likely those wine will be classified in a different category. They will not be normal
like normal wine.
Normal dry wines or normal wines. They will maybe be called a port wines. They are actually called fortified wines. Yeah. Let's say port wine from Portugal or other dessert wines like Moscato, Sauternes from France.
Yeah.
Those you find them, they can age because what happens, the sugar helps to preserve the wine. For longer, they will not spoil as quickly as
regular dry
wines. Yeah.
Okay.
They can age for long, and there's a different method that they do to make it age potential. Yeah. But also red wine, you find they age more. You find more older red wines, but also white wines you can find. But now it depends where they're made from and for what purpose and what kind of idea. They are doing not just basic white wine. basic white wine, you might not really find out.
Declining
quality.
Yeah.
Because if you keep still, this idea of
aging,
and I don't know, older wine is better. It's not always. Eh? It's very debatable. Depends with the condition you keep this wine.
Yeah.
And how much potential, age potential this wine was.
Mm-hmm.
You don't make a normal. Let's say in Kenya, we just grow some grapes somewhere in Meru. We just make, I don't know, a regular Pinot Grigio, simple without. Maybe it's not very high in acidity. There's so many variables. Maybe it's a warm climate. It's very, very fruity. Mm. Then you want to keep this wine for, I don't know, 100 years or 50 years. For sure.
You're better off drinking your wine today.
You better drink the wine earlier because the grape variety also is a lighter body kind of grape variety that cannot allow that heavy aging potential. So it's very debatable. Mm. It's not all wines that are old that are good. No,
yeah.
It depends on the grape varieties and the region.
Yeah, it's also like a collecting thing, right?
Yeah, yes.
You know, like it's not necessarily that they're doing it for utility purposes.
No.
So it's a whole other business. Like the collecting thing is also not necessarily a consuming.
Yeah, like I have a couple of bottles.
A consuming activity. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a couple of bottles in my house.
Mm-hmm.
If you visit me, I will not possibly open those wines. I would rather go to a supermarket and buy a new wine.
Yeah.
And I'll check. How special you are, you know, it depends.
Yeah.
Also,
and what are we celebrating?
What are we celebrating, and how special is that guest that you have?
Yeah.
Then I can buy something from that. But I would rather go and buy.
Yeah.
No matter the price, than open what I have at home, because some of the wines I have at home, I've traveled with them.
Yeah.
From far distance.
Yeah.
I will not just open that wine.
So basically, that wine has a different value for you.
Yes.
It's more sentimental.
It's more sentimental. I know where I bought them from.
Yeah.
I have some wine that I bought in a winery in Italy.
Yeah.
Like in the winery.
Yes.
There's no way I'm opening that wine.
You're not about to drink it.
No, even for myself.
Yeah.
No.
So that's the same way you'd keep your vacation pictures and look back at that and be like, wow, I was here, I did this.
Yes.
And you have fond memories of that.
Some of them you're given specifically. You know, as in the wine industry, what we do, we like to kind of gift each other with a special bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm.
Could be one, could be a small. Does not matter the price or the value or the size. But still, there's some wine that I will get. Like me as a sommelier, I would appreciate. I will even keep a wine for 50 years if I was given by a winemaker.
Mm.
A prominent winemaker that I know. Wow, this guy gave me a bottle of his wine.
Mm.
It is very special that a person even letting go of that wine to give you, and it's a winemaker, instead of selling to you, I'll not just go and misuse it and open it and just, no, I'll keep it.
As a sign of your friendship. And
yes.
And
every
moment.
Time I take a picture, I send him, your bottle is still here. It can even go, it can even spoil.
Yeah,
but
that's
the wine is there. That's okay for us.
This was my gift.
This was a gift from this winemaker. Maybe he signed for you the back of the bottle. So it depends.
I just remember that actually this phenomenon is very human.
Mm.
And it's not just unique to drinks, wine, whiskeys or whatever.
Mm.
There's a whole culture for, say, like people who love shoes. Sneakerheads, people who collect.
Okay,
I have a 1980 Michael Jordan, you know, special edition. This, that. And for them, they will not wear that shoe and step on the street.
Never.
They are not trying to ruin that shoe or go with it to the shower.
They'll make a box, glass box, and keep it somewhere in their wardrobe or whatever,
exactly.
In the sitting room.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so moving a little bit into something else that you had mentioned, like.
Mm.
So part of your job as a sommelier is advice on pairing with food.
Mm.
And from my little research into wine and food, a lot of the advice granted that you see online or in books is written from a different cuisine, mostly Mediterranean, European.
Mm.
So I always struggle with, like, you know, pairing and food.
Yeah,
because, yes, I could eat salmon, but where am I coming across salmon on a regular day?
In
when I'm having a meal, you know?
Yeah.
Typically, if I'm eating fish, I'll eat tilapia or the perch.
Yes.
Or, you know, some sea fish, which also in Nairobi, in Mombasa, yes, but in Nairobi, not
seafood
really.
Seafood in Nairobi, yeah. It's
you also don't have to take chances with it. You know, because also...
It's traveled miles.
It has
traveled a couple of hundreds of kilometers.
True.
So you also don't have to take chances with it.
Yeah.
So there's that. There's also like our own unique things that we eat, say like ugali with skuma, yeah. With mayai.
Yeah.
Finger foods is different. We'll eat samosas, we'll eat choma sausage, smokies, and what
tricky.
Else?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so if somebody is looking for internet based advice on food and wine, I always find it a challenge.
Yeah. Basic rule is white with white, red with red. So, what do I mean? White wine would possibly go well. With white meats, yeah. White meats is your chicken, is your the fish we have here. What you just mentioned, they are all white fish, yeah.
Yeah.
But also, when you're pairing food, you need to consider the sauce you're using.
Okay.
Because and the sweetness. There's so many things you consider when pairing food. There is something called it is now the sweetness.
Yeah.
There is salt.
Uh huh.
There is acidity. And there's something, there's spiciness.
Okay.
And there is umami. So let's go
Let's break it down. Yeah.
Break it down. So with the, which one to begin with? Okay.
Let's start with the
salt?
Sauces or salt. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you mention those five characters,
yeah,
that's what guides you to pair. So okay. Salt. So salt. Remember, it's a base from our chemistry, many years ago,
and bases,
acid and
pH, yeah.
Yes. Salt.
Yeah.
Salt will go very well with acidity.
Okay.
They will neutralize each other. Remember your chemistry? So, when you have a salty dish, that's why when we talk about
like smokies,
oysters, smokies that are salty, you... It will pair well with something that is acidic, as an acidic wine. And the other way around also.
Okay.
Although there will not be a salty wine. Yeah?
Yeah.
So, there's the basic. They will neutralize each other. This is called comparative.
So, basically...
contrast. This is called contrast pairing. Yeah? Because there is comparative, which is called congruent. But let's use the simple word, comparative. And there is contrast pairing. So for contrast is what I just mentioned, salt and acidity.
So low pH, high pH.
Yes. Oysters with a brut champagne or a prosecco would not be really brut.
Yeah.
But with a champagne or anything else that is a brut.
Yeah.
So we already know this word brut is acidic.
Yes.
It's a dry. Sparkling or any dry white wines. That would be the best pairing because what will happen, they will neutralize each other. Thank you.
And I'm thinking like cured meats or this ready-to-eat meats tend to be preserved with sodium.
Salt, a lot of salt and spiciness, but mostly
so like
it's salty.
Ham, like your hams and your...
Yeah. So with the, let's say your hams, nice acidic, high tannic wine.
Okay,
it's
okay,
nice.
Okay,
red.
Okay.
This is red now.
Yeah.
When you're talking about ham, you're not talking about white.
Okay.
White wine. That's why the basic rule of the thumb is white with white, red with red. So then, but then you can now, that's what I'm trying to explain.
Break it down further.
Break it down. So that's where oysters will be the best to go with a brut. Or a fish, now going to the fish. The fish, what will you be putting? It's mostly, I don't know, lemon dressing or a piece of lemon.
You drizzle
on the top. It's acidity. Also, acidity will go well with acidity. So what do I mean? So you're putting lemon
in
a fish, on a fish. Then you have also a dry white wine.
Yes.
It's also acidic.
Okay.
Those also is now, this is be comparative pairing because they are both
They both meet each other.
They are both the same kind of flavors. Yeah. Or let's say a cheese, which is very creamy.
Okay.
With a creamy Chardonnay.
Yeah.
This is comparative. But also a cheese that is very salty can also pair well with the same Chardonnay, which is creamy, but also high in acidity.
Okay.
So you're still not going far away from salt with acidity, acidity with acidity. The worst thing you can do, and now I'll go to sweetness, because we just talked about salt and acidity.
Yes.
Now, sweetness.
Yeah.
Sugar, And we do this mistake when I see we do weddings and you have a cake and you have a bottle of, I don't know, Moët Chandon and whatever. Yeah. Very brute.
Yes, a brute sparkling.
Sparkling.
Yeah.
And you have a sweet cake. This is the worst kind of pairing. And that's why, yes, it's good for the show that you, I don't know, you're popping champagne. It's good.
This and also that this event is momentous.
It's momentous. I don't know. Nice moment, nice memorable moment. But pairing-wise, for a wedding, okay, let's forget that. It's a different scenario. But on a normal day that you're sitting in your dining and you just had your dinner and there's a dessert,
yeah,
which is a cake or anything that has sweetness,
sugar,
you
yeah.
don't ever pair with a brut or with a dry white wine or with any dry wine. You do it with sweet.
With
so
sweet.
Again, comparative, okay. Sweet with sweet. So
and on the food aspect, sorry, and the food aspect, I'm thinking things like that have like sugar dressing or honey glaze.
This is why I was saying
yeah?
for the food. Mostly, well, as sommelier, we don't just check the food like the actual, I don't know, protein, meat or what.
Yeah.
We check also what sauce comes with this. It is a sweet sauce,
yeah.
And you have a steak okay. with a very sweet cranberry sauce. We do, I don't know, turkey with cranberry sauce.
Yeah, or honey glaze.
Honey
pork
glaze.
Ribs.
See, now that sweetness will
yeah.
mess up with your wine.
So you definitely want a sweet red.
Sweet red, little bit slightly. Let's say a red blend that is sweet. That would be nice.
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay.
Or, I don't know. You cannot have two type of wine anyway. You can consider a little bit slightly sweeter wine.
Mm.
Because, you know, but still has higher acidity, higher tannins.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, tanning and sweetness, they can work together well.
Mm.
It could be, have a little bit higher tanning. It will be lower in acidity because it's sweet, but it still has higher tanning. Because what do tanning do to this, to proteins? They break down
proteins.
They break
proteins. It down, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So still you can play with that. It has higher tannins, but still slightly sweeter. Not really
not
overly
very
sweet.
Dry.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, not overly sweet. Yeah? Then you can do with that because of the sauce.
I see.
But
I
if
see.
You're eating a steak with just a nice peppercorn sauce or I don't know, not a very, very, not a sweet sauce at all. Or
yeah.
just a beef bijou. They call it bijou. It's a beef jus.
Yeah.
Just boiled, blanched, I don't know, bones or whatever. It's
yeah.
a sauce they do with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it will be, they are all meat kind of flavors.
Yeah.
Then you do a very dry, tannic, acidic wine.
Mm.
Nice one. Then also you consider the fat of the steak. Also steak is very confusing.
Yeah.
Meat. Let's just say meat. Yeah.
Yes.
Because if you have a very fatty meat.
Okay.
Strip loin, whatever. You will not go with a light body wine. You go with a high acidic and full body wine. And high tannic wine. Because what will happen,
yeah.
is if you have a very fatty steak, you need the acidity, tanning, to break down the fats, yeah? To cleanse your
to
palate.
Bring in.
Yes. And
in
remember,
a wine that brings everything.
Yes.
Acidity, tannins, and body.
And remember, I see some people doing this mistake.
Yeah.
That you just finish eating and you take a glass of wine at the end of your meal. No, pairing is not like that. Pairing is you bite and you sip.
Yeah.
You bite, you
so
sip.
So you're chewing
chew
everything
together. So they are pairing.
Mm.
The tanning, the acidity, everything in that red wine breaks down the protein. Helps
okay.
you also
okay.
to cleanse your palate. Remember, fat steak, the fat
yeah,
sticks
yeah,
in
yeah,
your
yeah,
gum.
For
right?
sure, for
you
sure.
Do that. That,
okay.
So that's how you do. So and then something else, we finish all those four.
Mm-hmm.
Then umami. Umami, usually you find it in mushrooms.
Mm. So how
it's
can
mostly
you...
in Japanese cuisine they
okay.
have that umami. It's you'd not be coming across these umami a lot.
Yeah.
But sometimes there's some meals that you cook and you balance the sugar, you balance the acidity, and you eat that meal and it hits you different, like whoa, there's some flavor that I don't get it. It's savoriness, it's balance between acidity, saltiness and sweetness. That is umami.
So like utamu too.
Utamu, kaka flani, you know. You cook a nice biryani and I don't know, a nice steak with a nice sauce, hits the right salt and everything.
Yeah.
You taste the food, besides all that, those flavors that you're familiar with, there's
yeah.
some flavor that like, what is that flavor? Then it's very appealing. That is umami. But the best example is when you cook mushroom. Nice cooked mushroom.
Yes.
Comes with that. And sushi. If you have, you eat sushi, they have umami. This is usually a Japanese kind of thing that they talk about. If you do your research, you'll see they talk about umami in Japanese cuisine. Because
so like
they balance
the,
everything.
So it's like the residual feeling
yes.
you get.
Yes.
The residual sense of niceness.
You eat a sushi.
Like if, after you've swallowed, you're just like,
Oh, nice.
So there is your five principles.
Five principles.
Salt, acid,
sugar, umami, and...
Wait,
we spoke about
missing one more.
Spicy.
Oh, yes,
I recovered
spicy.
It.
So that would be like the chili in the food, right?
Yes.
Or very strong spice element.
Spice element. Mostly best example is Indian dishes,
Yeah.
Indian cuisine. It's very spicy.
Yeah.
So this is now another element that you need to consider.
Mm-hmm.
The spicy food, you don't go with the dry... acidic wines, because it's like you're putting off a fire in your kitchen by
pouring water.
Actually water it's okay by pouring an acid.
Ah.
If you have a, I don't know, sulfuric acid in your house or I don't know, petrol,
you just inflame there.
There's a fire and you throw an acid.
Yeah.
So this is a good example. You not pour, you not put out fire by pouring vinegar, which is acidic. So this is the same thing in your mouth. If you're having a very hot, spicy food, you don't pair it with dry, acidic wine because it's very acidic, as I mentioned.
Yeah.
So you use sweet sweet wines.
Oh.
Sweet wines.
Okay.
The same thing, if you ever you bite something very acidic and you have honey in your house, in your kitchen, you take a spoon of honey.
Yes.
Or when you have, I don't know,
acid upset,
what do you do? The best, if you don't have all those medicines to use, is a spoon of honey.
Yeah.
So that's another principle that you use. So spicy dishes, you don't go heavy on the acidity part, on the tannins part.
Yeah.
You use a sweeter wine. Good example, a Riesling, a Moscato. But then port wine would be also tricky because it's very high in acidity.
And
it's
also too sweet.
It's okay with the sweetness, but it's too high in alcohol. Also.
So you're it's not typically a pairing.
Depends how adventurous you are, but the basic rule is sweetness.
Okay.
Sweetness with spicy food.
Sweet and spicy. Great. Okay, that's a nice way to remember it.
Yeah.
I know you've been out of the country for quite a bit, working in different places, but you dip in and out of Kenya.
Yeah.
As a practitioner in wine industry, what are some of the things that... How are we doing comparatively to other people, or what are some of the things that you've observed here that that make you excited about what the future holds for anyone in wine in Kenya right now?
Yes, so we are really doing great.
Yeah,
I saw a lot of people doing wines. I saw a certain group of women as well, men as well. Mostly women, I think they're more into it.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of people doing competitions outside Kenya, and that made me proud.
Yeah.
And I feel good to know that we have a big, big kind of group that are interested in wine.
Yeah.
And I've actually met a lot of sommeliers, like fully fledged sommeliers.
Yeah.
That are here in Kenya, and also outside Kenya, there are so many other sommeliers.
Yeah.
Like the place I was in Dubai, there's so many sommeliers who are Kenyan.
Yeah.
You go to most ships also, doing Pacific, transatlantic. You meet a lot of Kenyan sommeliers as
well. Wow, that's good.
So this shows an emerging market that a lot of people are focusing on.
Yeah.
It's a very nice career. If you get it well and you do your things right, you can go... the sky is the limit. The sky is always the limit. And I see also in Kenya, we have a few wineries that are also making wines.
Yes.
So that's a good trajectory that we are on. Many hotels around here. You go to any hotels, even here where we are right now, you just go there, you meet a sommelier there.
True.
So we are doing well. We are focusing on this. Beverage is the way to go because... food in a restaurant, they will always be there, but what makes a guest experience better is what wine they are using or what wine they are pairing with, and what they will actually remember is the bottle of wine.
It's true.
Many many times the guys will talk about a certain bottle I had, I don't know in which country, in which restaurant, but not the food.
Yeah.
The food will remain the same. The food is the same every
single
day.
The food is good, but the wine makes it extra special.
Makes it extra special. Food will always be there in restaurant. There's no restaurant without food.
Yeah.
But the best restaurants have the best wines. That's how it is.
Wow. I like that.
Yeah.
And before we let you go, first of all, thank you for making the time.
Yeah.
Within your holiday that you're home, for speaking to us and for sharing your wisdom.
My pleasure.
And if you, last question before we let you go is, what does the future hold for you as a sommelier from Kenya, representing across the world? And if you're public, how can people find you if you share your knowledge about wine on other platforms?
Yes.
Yeah, if you can leave us with that. We'll be happy to let you go.
Yes. So I've seen basically the world for sure. I've traveled many places, but I'm happy to be back home, and I want to focus my attention also in understanding my own place, you know, because I've traveled a lot and you understand other places. You visit many places, go and you are celebrated outside Kenya, and they know you well outside, but not a lot of people know me here at home. So that's why, and I'm happy when I did the Wine Expo and I got a chance to meet a lot of sommeliers here and a lot of people in the industry. Some are in the trade, some are in the import, and I was happy to meet them. And I want to focus my attention also here to understand the importation, to understand the market itself, to understand the sommelier business, the retail kind of sector.
Yeah.
There's a lot to do, and I want to focus myself here. I'll be here for quite some time.
Okay.
And let's see if other duties call in other countries also. Good. If someone call here in Kenya, then I'll be at anyone's service. I'm at all.
You're open for opportunities.
I'm open for opportunities here. I'm open for opportunities here.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you.
For your generosity with your time.
Yeah.
And because I think these conversations are important.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's always somebody listening, maybe today or 2 years from now.
Yeah.
And you know, this is a conversation that's stuck in time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you need me to talk to people whenever you have the events, I'm free also.
Yay.
It's all right.
Awesome.
I'll be there for people. Yeah.
Okay.
To
great.
Share knowledge. If you don't share what you know, you don't even learn what you don't know.
It's true. And it will disappear.
It disappears. You evaporate. You forget everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you so much for that. Books and Wine, we're over and out. Thank you for tuning in for another episode. Make sure you follow Books and Wine on all social media platforms. And if you learned one thing or two, please share this episode with someone who would benefit from what you already learned. Until the next time, bye.